doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. Logan, I didn't tell you anything about our golf tournament. I'll do that real quickly, and then we'll get back to tree talk. We're going to talk more about planting trees properly and address some of Don's questions from the first hour. Telephone number to be with me, and it's open lines at the moment, is 866-1-866. Toll free, of course. 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This hour is brought to you by the BioSI people. A lot of folks are using the BioSI products. Some people have understood the use of beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus for a long time. This company has made it a lot easier to understand. Great line of retail products. They've been helping large-scale ag in this country and other countries for a long time. So if you want more information, there's a banner ad there on the right-hand side. Of course, when you go to DirtDoctor.com, each time you change a page, you'll see a little bit different arrangement of those banner ads. But look for BioSI, S period, I period, and it is the company that can help you with the mycorrhizal and bacterial products that you need for whatever it is you're growing. They also have products for speeding up the decomposition of stubble out in the fields, which is a major problem in agriculture because of the GMOs and the Roundup Ready stuff and Roundup itself. Things aren't breaking down, and they got a product that's specifically for that. They also have a product called Pond Doctor, which is used for algae and water. So, in other words, across the board, BioSI can help you. And I want to talk to you about needing a little help with some doggies. We didn't do a very good job the last couple of weeks. From last week, Tito at the SPCA in Dallas, still waiting for his forever home. Let's see. Below, the latest dog is Joy. And for some reason, I got a really strange printout that came, and all I see is the back end of this dog. So it what it says, it's a 5-year-old 21-pound terrier mix, white around the face and paws. She's called Joy because she has a lot of it. She's a very happy dog, loves to go walking on a leash, and you need to check her out along with the other dogs that have not been adopted yet here in the Dallas SPCA. Just go to DirtDoctor.com, click on the SPCA Dog of the Week button, and you can go in there and see what's going on at the Jan Reese Jones Animal Care Center. It's just just west of downtown Dallas. Beautiful new facility there, and you can help yourself more than help these dogs adopting a dog. We missed our dogs. We've just gone 3 days, and little Tater and great big Carmen were eager to see us, but we were more eager to see them when we got back. Both of them came from the SPCA. And let's see what else we need to do before we continue. Oh, Don's question is what I need to do first. First of all, he asked me about a product called a green cycler. It was brought up on the air. I didn't know anything about it. It sounded like a good concept. The manufacturer sent me one to try. It's a very impressive device in general, but I have to be honest, when anybody shows me anything, so I'll tell you the pros and the cons about what I think about this device. There are many of these on the market. After it had been brought up by Don and maybe somebody else on the show, I did a quick Google search, and about 100 different versions of some kind of counter recycler came up. Some of them are just storage bins, and we've used one that for a long time that's nothing but a little stainless steel canister with a lid on it. And what I use it for is put the wet scraps from the kitchen in it before I move them out to a bigger metal container to sit a while and let the maggots, the worms of the black soldier fly, digest that wet and greasy debris. And yes, I put greasy things in the compost, and it starts going through that process before it goes into the big compost operation. And we've got a really big compost pile that's along a slope to help prevent erosion. Is what we've been doing now for many years. But it goes through those steps. This green cycler, I don't know, it's almost as big as a bushel basket, I guess, square in shape, has a hand crank. It is manual. It has knives inside that crunch up the waste from the kitchen into finer particles before they go through the process like I already use. I pretty much throw things in, or did in the past, in larger sizes. Certain things like vegetable waste, eggshells, your leftover food that you've eaten can go through this thing, and it grinds it up pretty well. The negative about it is there's certain things that won't go through it. And what that does is create a situation where you would, if you do what I do and put everything in some kind of a container inside and then a larger one that has a lid on it outside before it goes in the big compost pile, you're going to have two things. You're going to have this green cycler for the softer material, and then for things like gristly meat, bones, avocado seed. You know, I just was throwing everything in it, and it won't chew up an avocado seed. It won't chew up banana peels very well. It won't chew up several things, or something else I ran into, sweet potato peelings, it didn't. Now, maybe if you chopped them up finer before you put them in, it would. But I think it's a very nice tool. I think it's great. It comes with a little zeolite packet that goes in it to keep the odor down, and you just grind it up until the little bin at the bottom is full, and then you move it, you know, to the next place. Now, with it ground up finely like it does, you could take it out and skip the step I use of putting it in an outdoor metal container before it goes in the big compost pile. You could put it right straight in the ground and do trench composting with it. But you are going to have certain things from the kitchen and from your preparation of meals that it won't grind up. That's my only negative about it, is that material will have to be either thrown away, which I don't really recommend, or just put into a different kind of container and let sit longer and let the black soldier fly maggots work on it for a while. So it was, I think, an excellent tool, but you're probably going to need another tool to go with it if you use it. Okay, back to the, let's see, what is Esther calling about? Some tree stuff. So we'll get to you just in a second, Esther. One thing I wanted to do is talk about three different trees as far as planting them properly, because they're very different. Crepe myrtles grow in the south. You know, they'll grow as far north as zone 7, and then they do very well below that, you know, down to 9 or 10. It's an ornamental tree, and it's for the people in the South. For people all over the country, there's two that I will specifically talk about. One is white ash, which is very closely kin to our Texas ash, and it will grow in zones from 9 down south of where we are in Texas to zone 4. It will grow all across the eastern two-thirds of the company. They say it. They're not showing it to be native out in the West, but it'll actually grow out there too. It's just not native there. It's native all over the eastern two-thirds of the country. And then the other one I wanted to talk about is an introduced plant from China, as is crepe myrtle, actually. And it will adapt and grow very well in anywhere in the United States from zones 5 to 8. So when you're planting any of these three, we're going to use exactly the same techniques. We're going to take that tree, no matter which one of those it is, out of the container, if it's a hard container, put it in a bucket of water and soak it. If it's too big to do that, you pull the burlap off of it, you take the big container away, and you rake the soil off of the surface of that ball to expose the flare. And in almost every case, you're going to be exposing circling roots that have gone over and hitting the, hit the side of the container and started going around and around in the container. You want to try to hydrate those roots. If it's bald and burlap, with spraying it and drenching it real well. If it's a metal or plastic container, you want to do it by taking it out of the container, putting it in a large container to soak in water for 2-3 hours if you can, so it becomes so saturated, so hydrated rather, with water, you can straighten out some of those roots. And then they're planted very high. The worst mistake that I see on crepe myrtles is not cutting the top backs. It's a problem, but it's the second problem. The worst one, planting them too low in the ground. More on all of it for you right after this.
You've planned, packed, paid, and are counting down the days. Whether it's a trip of a lifetime or a weekend getaway, don't risk ruining your hard-earned vacation by neglecting to protect your health. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist, and I'm often asked how to prevent illness when traveling. I recommend packing award-winning Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as the best defense against traveler's tummy. The convenient, travel-friendly blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics used various strains of live beneficial bacteria combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, so it helps reduce the risk of getting traveler's diarrhea caused by foodborne bacteria. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro, and Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Order today and receive their special offer or buy one, get one free. Call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. Order today. Buy one, get one free. That's 877-655-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com.
Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The first step to a beautiful lawn this spring is an application of Revive. Hi, Dale Langford here. You know, I've been writing lawn and garden columns for over 40 years. and I found one product that really works. It's Revive Organic Soil Treatment. Revive is a proven, unique formula of wetting agents, soil conditioners, and nutrients. It's organic-based, safe for kids and pets, and will not burn your lawn. Revive moves fertilizer and water down deep to the roots. Hey, that saves water and fertilizer, and that saves money. The results are spectacular. Get greener grass with less water. A lush, dark green, healthy lawn that you can be proud of. And remember, saving water is saving money. Revive is available at your favorite garden center. Visit Revive.com for more information and store locations. Use Revive every few weeks for the greenest lawn on your block. In fact, use Revive right now. It works.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And I didn't mention this morning something I meant to. My tea is really good. You need to try this mixture. It is, let me see if I remember everything. It's green tea, yerba mate, ginger, and peppermint. And it's really good. It's really nice. And honey. Great big spoonful of honey. Since Esther is going to be talking about something that I'm going to be right in the middle of with what I wanted to talk about, we'll go to her first, and then I'll get back to my little speech on trees. Esther's in Frisco, Texas. Hello, Esther.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am in Frisco Lakes, and which is a sort of a retirement community.
Uh-huh.
And the trees, I noticed when I moved here, so many of them are planted too deeply, and ours in our yard were, and I told that to the guy that was supposed to be in charge of supervising, but didn't have time to come to all the yards, so they're all planted too deeply, and the red maples especially, eight on our one street have died. And I have tried to, the bark has split on them because they get the hot afternoon sun, but I have tried to expose the flare some, but I'm just apprehensive about doing too much. And on the pistache tree, I've hit roots, too many roots doing that, I mean bigger roots. So it's still not, the flare's not exposed enough on that. But now that it's gotten colder, is it okay to expose more of that tender underground growth?
Yeah, we do it. We recommend it, and we do it where we have any influence all winter long. It's a good time to do it, Esther. The Chinese pistachios that you're seeing are probably having a lot of big circling and girdling roots way up high. Is that what you're running into?
I'm thinking they probably are because they weren't planted correctly.
Yeah.
The wire and the cord was still on it, and I told the guy because I had him come out, and oh, you know their story, it's going to deteriorate, but it isn't. So that cord is a material that's not going to deteriorate quickly.
Yeah.
And the wire certainly isn't for a long time, so we cut and moved as much as we could, but we should have had them replanted right away, but when you're moving and doing all kinds of other things, that's not a priority at the time.
No, it's very common because the industry still is not concentrating on how big a problem this is, but the answer to your question is this is a great time to do it, and it's just like I was talking about the three trees that I wanted to cover. It doesn't matter what they are or where you are in the country. getting these the soil off the base of the tree and getting these circling roots taken care of is the most important thing that you can do. So,
well, what, Kat, now I'll have to have somebody come in and take care of the circling roots. I did have an arborist come out that came to a vendor fair out here, and he, you know, said just take it away gently, but he didn't know those roots were already circling, which I'm sure they are.
Well, the way you take the badly circling ones off, and Chinese pistachio is the worst tree of all about that, it has to be done with a chisel and a hammer, and you literally chisel down into it. And if it's already cutting into the trunk, you can just you cut it in two places where you've severed, you know, you've cut it so it can't send liquids through it anymore, and the trunk will grow and actually pop it off. It'll just push it off as it grows on out, and it doesn't hurt the tree at all. You do hurt the tree if you cut through that root and cut on into the trunk as well, so you have to be very careful to do that. That's why it's best to have an arborist do that work for you.
Okay.
It's a great time to do the work, and you can do it yourself, and I do it myself in certain cases too with a stiff brush. I've got a horse brush from Gecko Hardware, and it's got real stiff bristles, and if there's moisture in the soil, you can use it to brush that soil away. It takes a lot longer than an arborist doing it with an air spade, but you can do it yourself by hand with a brush like that, and it's the best tool for a homeowner to use. A homeowner can also use a power wash, but it's you're dealing with water, and it's a messy deal, and if you get that nozzle too close, you can damage the tender bark, which is what it is. It's been covered up if it's the flare.
Well, that's what I understand that, but that's why I didn't know whether the cold would affect that tender bark. So,
well, there's a potential that's kind of rare that if we had a winter again like we had in 1983 and 84, there would be some damage, but that was so rare that it's probably not going to happen. You're for sure going to continue to injure the trees if you leave the circling, girdling roots cutting in.
Okay.
Exposing the flare and getting it exposed to air is no risk at all. It's just cutting away and doing some actual surgery to the roots that would make the tree at the base just a little bit more sensitive to a ridiculously hard freeze like 83, 84, you know, which is extremely rare and probably won't happen.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for that information, and I'll call the arborist for one, and I think I can work on the other one myself.
Get to work.
The red maple. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Related to that, and open line for you at 866-444-3478. I'm going to start with crepe myrtle, and then we'll talk about white ash and dawn redwood, and it kind of covers pretty much any kind of tree that you might have anywhere out there across the country. Birds are coming in, so let me just wait and not rush that and start it when I come back. In the meantime, let me tell you, if you want our newsletter, which is free and weekly, you send us an email and say you want it, send it to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the little form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
With SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Authorities say a Metro North passenger train derailment in New York City has caused four fatalities and dozens of injuries. The southbound Hudson Line train had left Poughkeepsie at 5:54 this morning due to arrive at 7:43 at Grand Central. Investigators from NTSB are en route to begin the search for answers and say the black box will be able to tell how fast the train was traveling. Extra bus service for travelers is now available. The Harlem and New Haven lines will try to pick up the slack tomorrow morning with a rush hour commute. Shoppers spent $9.74 billion at stores in the U.S. on Black Friday, typically the busiest shopping day of the year, a 13.2% drop from a year ago. And that's according to data that was released Saturday afternoon by retail research firm ShopperTrack. For more details, go to srnnews.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman, Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
With Eastern Sports, I'm Patrick Fawcett. A game for the ages. It was number four Auburn shocking top-ranked Alabama 34-28. With 1 second left, Bama kicked a 57-yard potential game-winning field goal. When the kick was short, Chris Davis returned the missed field goal, more than 100 yards for a touchdown in the final play, as Auburn fans poured out of the stands to celebrate their Iron Bowl victory. Alabama coach Nick Saban.
I think you got to give Auburn's players a lot of credit. They've had a great season. They played a great game. They made plays when they needed to make them today, and that's probably the difference in the game.
Second-ranked Florida State crushed Florida 37-7. Seminole coach Jimbo Fisher's team is 12-0 and headed for the number one ranking in the BCS because they
played one game at a time. It never looked ahead. It don't worry about the results. It doesn't worry about the outcomes. It doesn't worry about what we have in front of us.
Third-ranked Ohio State edged Michigan 42-41. The 12-0 Buckeyes likely headed for number two. Will play Michigan State in the Big Ten title game. Number five Missouri beat Texas A&M 28-21. The 11-1 Tigers face off in the SEC championship game. This is Esther in Sports. Top 25 hoops saw number 2 Kansas beat UTEP 67-63. It was 14th-ranked Oregon 91, North Dakota 76. 23rd-ranked Iowa edged Villanova 74-72 in overtime. In the NBA, in a key Western Conference battle, Houston top San Antonio 112-106. Rockets guard James Harden had a game high 31 points.
Just being active and just being, you know, in attack mode at all times is what they look for me to do.
Washington topped Atlanta 108-101. It was Cleveland 97, Chicago 93, Brooklyn 97, Memphis 88, Minnesota 112, Dallas 106, Milwaukee 92, Boston 85, Utah 112, Phoenix 104. In the NHL, the Rangers beat Vancouver 5-2. Two overtime winners, New Jersey 1-0 over Buffalo, and Washington 3-2 over the Islanders. Three shootout winners, Philadelphia 3, Nashville 2, Colorado 3, Minnesota 2, San Jose 4-3 over Anaheim. Elsewhere, Boston beat Columbus 3-1. It was Pittsburgh 5, Florida 1, Montreal 4, Toronto 2, Chicago 5, Phoenix 2, Calgary 2-1 over Los Angeles. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. The first thing I need to do is a caller called in, couldn't hold, and said that the house is infested with fleas and what to do. Well, we're going through, I assume they're in this area, didn't say, but when you're going through a mild weather pattern, mild weather days like we're having here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's a great time to apply beneficial nematodes outside, and that'll knock them out better than anything you can possibly do. And when you have mild winter weather like this, they can be very active. The fleas can be very active out there, and the beneficial nematodes are extremely effective. And so that shuts down kind of the source of the fleas inside the house. You can kill the fleas with basically the same things I was talking about in the beginning of the show to control mold and mildew that may have set up under the house or in the air conditioning situation or whatever, the vents, whatever like that. Products like BioWash, orange oil, vinegar would even help. Orange oil and the borate products are the ones that would be the most effective. You can dust boric acid. You can use the Timbor type products that are borates mixed with water and spray. There are dry borate products in the pet stores and in the garden centers and feed stores that sell the kind of things that we talk about. In fact, they'd probably be real easy to find, that you simply dust out dry carpet and hardwoods and around in cracks and crevices and everything, and then vacuum up the excess. And those products referred to generically as borates, B-O-R-A-T-E-S, work very, very well on fleas. You can spray orange oil mixed with water at 2 ounces per gallon of water. The only warning there is to be careful about putting a lot of that and leaving it without cleaning it off on painted or varnished surfaces, because orange oil is a solvent, and if you put it on too concentrated or leave it, you know, too long, too much of it too long, it will dull up paint finishes, so be careful with that. Makes the place smell good, kills the fleas, and works very well. By the way, natural diatomaceous earth will also do it and works very well. Some people like it even better than the borates and would probably argue that it's less, even less toxic than the borates. Boric acid is used by a lot of people, and it is a stomach poison. If an animal, a dog or cat, got into a lot of it and ate it. We've had one animal get into some boric acid. It happened a long time ago when I was using it. I don't even use it much anymore. But got a little tummy ache, and that was about it. So the borates are a little milder form, a little milder way to get to put some boron in the house and control the fleas. So hope that helps. Anyway, back to the trees, planting trees too deeply, starting with crepe myrtles. Crepe myrtles are notorious for being planted too deeply. And by the way, I congratulate the last caller. My wife, the school teacher of the seventh grade for 7 years, would really have appreciated that, because sometimes I don't say planting the trees too deeply. I usually say planting them too deep. She did it right. But anyway, when crepe myrtles are planted too deeply, they are not going to perform as well as they should. You're not going to get the ultimate potential out of the tree that you can. Simple as that. Because when the flare of the tree is buried, you have buried part of the trunk. The flare is part of the trunk. It's not part of the root system. And we've got a lot of crepe myrtles that have already been planted and are still being planted here in our part of the world. We're in zone 8 now. We're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and crepe myrtles are a common ornamental plant. I would say that 95% of them have been planted too deeply in the ground, and the result is you're going to have insect and disease problems more, mildew, mold, things like that. You're not going to have as good a flowering, and just everything doesn't work as well. So if they're in the ground, you can expose the flare. Arborists do it with an air spade or air knife. A crepe myrtle has a big flare. It has a dramatic flare that goes out and then turns in with age to an apron. It's really dramatic and pretty. And that's another reason to do it. The crepe myrtle trees and other ornamental trees too. I'm just using crepe myrtle as a great example of one that's planted so badly so often. But you'll like the way the plant looks. It will like the way it feels better, and you'll cut the insect and disease problems down dramatically. Where we saw the scale insects attack and hit crepe myrtles a few years ago, it was without question on trees that were a little bit too deep in the ground. So dramatically expose them. Anybody that will tell you that you can damage a tree by overexposing it, overexposing the flare, just is wrong. You can't overexpose a tree unless you end up leaving it suspended in the air. Having a very dramatic flare is extremely important for the crepe myrtle. And those of you in the north that would have ash trees, the white ash or dawn redwood, which will grow all over the country, even though it's imported from China, those plants, too, perform much, much better if that flare is exposed. And it doesn't matter if the tree's been in the ground a long time or if it's brand new being planted today. You want to expose the flare. I'm not even concerned about the freeze damage way up in the north, planting it at the proper height, because where they're coming from, in most cases, is from a nursery where they're much more exposed than they're going to be in the ground when that flare is exposed. Flare, again, is part of the trunk, not part of the root system. Dawn Redwood, by the way, just for interest for you, if you don't know what I'm talking about on Dawn Redwood, probably most of you do know what white ash is. It's a beautiful ash, very open growing, has light mottled kind of bark and nice, pretty smooth texture. It's really striking even in the winter. Very closely kin to our Texas ash here in the Texas area and out in the western part of the state. Probably a few of them over in the East Texas area, but it's a more of a xeric plant. They have beautiful fall color. They don't just have the yellow fall color. They tend to have a multitude of colors ranging from yellows into salmon colors and reds and even into dark maroons. That's the thing that separates the white ash and the Texas ash from green ash and Arizona ash and things like that that I do not recommend. So if you've been thinking about planting a new deciduous tree with a little fall color, take a look at that one. That ought to be on your list to consider. The Dawn Redwood, on the other hand, which comes from areas in China, it's just happy as it can be here in the United States, planted just about anywhere. And if you want to see what I'm talking about, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you can see beautiful giant specimens in several places. Those of you that are in Georgia, there's a place in Atlanta, Georgia, where you can see some. I've got pictures of these, I think, on the website, and if I don't, I'll make a note to get them there. They're in my book, the Texas Tree Book, I know for sure. They're at a college there that a friend of Logan's went to. It's called Rhodes College in Atlanta, Georgia, and there are some Dawn Redwoods there that are just spectacular in that little college. It's a great-looking little college, stone buildings and beautiful place, but it's a good place to see that tree. Another place for you to see Dawn Redwoods, if you want to consider using them at your residence, two arboreta. One is the Morris Arboretum at the University of Pennsylvania. Big, beautiful specimens. Do a web search on that. I haven't been there personally to see that, but you can pull that up on a web search. The other one I have seen is the Arnold Arboretum in Boston, Mass. And there are some spectacular big Dawn Redwoods there in Boston. So this is a tree that does well all the way from there down to probably South Texas, I guess. Well, in fact, I know it would. And even though Dawn Redwood's kind of like Ball Cypress and Montezuma Cypress, and I especially like Montezuma Cypress, this is a tree that can grow in some more moist soil, can even take some fairly wet conditions. But it will do better if it's set so it has pretty good drainage, has normal moisture, and has its flare dramatically exposed above the ground. You'll notice if you look at pictures of the Arnold Arboretum in Boston, or if you go there, that the biggest, most beautiful trees have spectacular flares above the ground. So it's not just something that should be done in the South. I was talking to somebody not too long ago from, part of our family from Houston, and they were talking about the fact that in Houston, there's the worst tree planting of probably anywhere in the United States there for the most part that's happened the last 10 or 15, 20 years. And that is trees are planted a little bit too deeply in the beginning, and then they're covered up with this great big volcano-looking mulch pile at the bottom of the tree. I don't know why Houston is worse about that than any other place in the country, but they are. And for any of you listening in Houston, and I don't know if we have a station in Houston yet, but everybody can be listening on the streaming live on dirtdoctor.com, of course. If you have trees on your property that have that big pile of mulch, or if you have just mulch that's straight across, that's flat mulch that's up on the tree trunk 3 or 4 or 5 inches, pull it all off, every bit of it, and then expose the flare dramatically so you can step on it. It's exposed so much it's turning sideways, and you can literally step on the flare. And then put the mulch back if you want to, but in a thinner fashion. So it's thick out on the out at the outside part of the mulch where the hole would have been dug, in other words, the outside edge of it. And then as the mulch comes into the tree trunk, it gets thinner and thinner until at the flare it goes to zero. So there's no mulch on the flare of the tree. If you put mulch on the flare, it's going to turn into soil, and you're going to end up looking back someday, and you're going to have the mulch right back on the flare of the tree. The other thing related to all this is that I highly recommend you don't put a posy bed under the trees, because if you do that, you're going to build up the soil, add amendments, transplanting and planting. You're going to end up covering the flare again. More on all this in a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
At Natural Organic Warehouse, you get more than just affordable products for your farm, landscapes, ranch, or home. You also get practical field-based advice on how to best solve problems. That's because we're growers too. It's our advice that sets us apart from other product providers. Get the products and the advice you need by visiting naturalorganicwarehouse.com or call us at 888-998-9669. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com, 888-998-9669. Better, cleaner, sustainable choices.
You already know how great all-natural Crazy Water is to drink, but now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse which is located in historic mineral wells, and it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water, so good it's crazy.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow. Mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Without good health, little else matters.
Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you, and there's open lines if you want to jump on here, if you got anything to chat about. It's 866-444-3478. We've had two people call about tree issues that is a perfect fit for where I am right now with this talk. One was Don talking about sandy soil and water issues, and the other was Esther talking about her area near Frisco Lakes. I'm very familiar with that. She's got thin soil, clay on top of white rock, a lot like I have at my place and other people do as well. Watering properly is pretty easy to do if you plant the tree properly. If you do this soaking the root ball in water or making sure if it's a big one that you've drenched it really well before it's been backfilled and you know you have water all the way through, that's a critical part of the deal. Another critical part of the deal is to treat the root ball and the roots and or the roots and the roots if it's a bare-rooted transplant, which can work very well. I recommend it in a lot of cases with mycorrhizal fungus or, even better still, mycorrhizal fungus bacteria combined products. If you do that, what happens at the beginning of the growth of the roots, and it'll be especially true if you are really smart and plant something in the fall, right now where we are before winter gets here, because like I said, you get that burst of growth in the fall and then a little bit of growth, sustained growth through the winter. And then when spring rolls around, the plants take off like they've been there for a long time. A critical part of that is mycorrhizae, mycorrhizal fungus. You can use a product that is just that. You can use the new Garrett Juice, Garrett Juice Pro. It's in that product. Either way you want to do it, but I highly recommend it, and it's very much a helpful thing at not only getting the roots to start growing better, but holding the moisture in there. What holds the moisture at the right level in the soil is biological activity, is the microbes. The microbes doing their job, both fungus and bacteria, also other microbes as well, protozoa and all kinds of things that comes with this healthy soil we're talking about. It just makes it a lot easier to water the tree in properly in the beginning and then use a very seldom schedule to keep the tree moist enough. And how often is it? Well, can't tell you that. You're going to have to determine that yourself, and you determine it with a probe. You can use a professional probe that's called a pipe probe, which is a yellow fiberglass shafted probe that people in the business, you know, doing trenching and various kinds of work in the soil use to find pipes and find rock and things like that. You can buy one of those for 20 something bucks probably from anybody that sells plumbing type supplies. Some of the irrigation people would probably sell it. Or you can ease down the hall to your closet, and if there's any old golf clubs there, break a head off of a golf club, or better still, saw it off at an angle with a hacksaw, and use that. It'll have a rubber grip on it, and use that as a probe. Or if you're not a golfer, go down to the pawn shop and buy you an old golf club for a dollar or for 10 cents and do it with that. I use one like that all the time. I have a pipe probe, but also use golf club a lot because it's just simple to have in the car and always have it around and available. So probe the area of the root ball, probe the area outside the root ball. You can tell by the feel and by the residue that's left on the probe when you pull it out of the ground what the moisture level is. If it's toward the dry side, needs more water. If it sounds like Elsie pulling her foot out of the mud and has a bunch of mud stuck to it, when you pull it out, it's too moist. You don't need to water for quite a while. That kind of moisture level, whether it's sand or clay, will last quite a while. You'll have to water a little more often with sand. There's no question about that. And if you put the Garrett juice at least once in the beginning, you might want to do it once a month, in a very, very diluted fashion into the watering. It's going to help hold the water. It's going to build the microbes in the soil faster. They're going to hold that moisture for longer than anything you can do. Don was asking me about using lava sand, and it's great on the surface. I wouldn't put it down in the hole. I wouldn't put anything down in the hole when you plant a tree, whether it's a little one-foot-high seedling or a 30-inch caliper oak that you've moved in from somewhere else. I wouldn't put anything else in the hole other than the soil that came out of the hole, because those roots are going to have to grow in that native soil. And the sooner they get used to it as they start to grow, the better off the tree's going to be. So if you put something soft, like a lot of people still recommend, down in the planting hole, like peat moss or compost or sandy loam, some different kind of soil that is the surrounding soil, you will have created a pot in the ground, and the roots go out in that soft stuff and say, ooh, this is great. And they hit that wall of the existing native soil, and they say, and they start circling in the hole. That's what causes it. So to eliminate that, backfill with the soil from the hole. I'll talk about bare root planting a little bit in the last hour. Those of you that don't get it on your radio station, go to dirtdoctor.com. We stream all 3 hours live there. If you want our newsletter, you can get it free. Just send us your email address or fill out the little form that's on the homepage, and you'll get the weekly newsletter. Dirtdoctor.com. Our Facebook is Howard Garrett, Dirt Doctor, and we got a lot of activity going on there. Check that out as well. Talk to you in a little bit.